With Women's History Month just a few weeks away, the University of South Florida hosted day one of the third annual Florida Consortium for Women's Studies Conference in Tampa today. This year's theme is femininity and masculinity in the global context. Kim Voss is the chair of the Department of Women's Studies at USF. She spoke with WMNF about the Florida Consortium for Women's Studies and discussed some of the challenges facing professors of women's studies today.
We are a coalition of women's studies programs, institutes around the state seeking to advance feminist scholarship and activism and service learning. As a discipline that's considered rather political, we're often targeted for budget, you know, and budget cuts come around. So we're underfunded as a whole group. So we're trying to collaborate, share our resources, think of ways that we can help all of our students statewide. So the conference is part of that.
What do you see as some of the challenges facing a women's studies department, even specifically solely at USF? Because I'm a USF student. So what's something that you see as a challenge that the women's studies department is facing right now?
We're well underfunded and expected to achieve at the same rates of larger departments, and then held accountable when we can't achieve those goals because we're underfunded, understaffed, and undervalued. And with the recent budget cuts, we are, you know, particularly targeted once again, and we are feeling that threat of not being able to provide this unique perspective that most AAU universities offer to their students in their PhD programs, for example, in women's studies. So it would be a myth to say that as the university wants to aspire to AAU status, that women's studies can't be a central part of that, because that's not true.
LaMonda Horton-Stalling, a University of Florida assistant professor of English, spoke at the women's conference. In the midst of the Don Imus scandal, Stalling responded to what happened in a paper titled In Defense of Nappy Head Hoes and Other Women Who Sell Body on Athletics and Sex Work. Dr. Horton-Stalling says the paper began as a rant at 2 in the morning, but really developed into something else altogether.
What the end result is basically about this idea of wisdom, excellence, black women's bodies and sex work, all tied together somehow, I hope. And just a kind of warning in terms of the way I'm thinking about nappy-headed and hoes is in a way that's particularly different than I'm sure a lot of people think of it. I don't have any negative connotations with nappy-headed. I don't see anything wrong with black women who decide to perform sex work, as hoes indicate. And so that's where a lot of my kind of politics with this paper is coming from.
Students and professors held discussion panels on queer studies, world writers, and health disparities in aging women's populations. Later, Dr. Horton-Stalling described in her presentation what she calls, quote, the politics of hoeing.
The other politics of hoeing, which did not involve sex, but a philosophy of self-determination practiced by most of the nappy-headed hoes I'd grown up knowing, was just as informative. This politics of hoeing insisted upon a mentality that suggests that women or woman does what woman can when she can. Woman does what she wants in order to get the self what it wants. Woman does what she wants for the self even when it may or may not like the good woman. Woman must always realize that the self is on the market, maintain control over the sale of self under her own conditions. This, she must come up with the philosophy of self, will enable not only survival, but living.
Dr. Horton-Stalling described going away to camp every summer in North Carolina as a young girl and deciding to try swimming lessons, which most of the young black girls strayed away from because of the damage it did to their hair. She describes a pivotal moment in her youth facing both the culturally unacceptable nappy state of her hair and the sudden advance of puberty.
At the age of 12, I had made a choice to join my politics of hoeing with the aesthetic of being nappy-headed. I had gotten it in my mind that I would learn to swim once and for all. This was a pivotal time for me. I had been an awkward tomboy still trying to adjust to being blessed with nice C-cup breasts almost overnight. To say that the breasts had put a cramp in all of my physical activities would be an understatement. As I learned every summer at Central Camp, for a young girl to learn how to swim, she had to be okay with getting her hair wet. I will simply endure the kitchen comments, the occasional camp mate pulling out a comb and letting it dangle in a nap or two to show the other kids just how nappy my hair was. It will all be worth it in the end, wouldn't it? I thought.
Those who had been in swimming lessons had to take a test at the end of summer. Here, Dr. Horton Stalling describes how this sport, combined with what she calls the politics of hoeing, made her embrace herself and encourage her to do better.
My heart felt as if it were going to jump out of my chest, and anxiety grew as I jumped in the pool. I sank, but as the breaths I had been hating so much, they helped me rise up where I might have otherwise continued to sink. Arms slicing through the water, doing all of the things I had been taught to do, swimming like a fish in water, I was across to the other end in no time. In the water, it was okay for me to have big breasts and nappy hair because it meant that I could excel at doing something that I really liked doing. It made me comfortable with doing what I wanted to do for myself, even if it wasn't what other people wanted for me or thought was right for me. But since I was ignorant, developing, relying on my politics of hoeing, I became more and better.